This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to a new season of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler and I'm joined by Joel Skidd. Hello, Joel.
Hello. Is this when you say new season, is this Patreon or is this actual?
This is Patreon, but it's the first one we'll have recorded. So we've been releasing some, but they were all, I mean, some of them were recorded last year, as it became quite evident during some of the chatter for them. Deriding St Johnstone and then speaking about which Scotland penalty takers, who would you want taking a penalty for Scotland in a vital penalty shootout? Of course, not knowing they would have two coming later on, just a couple months after we recorded. So yeah, that sounded a bit weird, but hopefully people still enjoyed them anyway and had fun listening to them.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice when it happens. You have to, and you get to listen to something that you know has happened, and to hear people's opinions on what they like to see in future from back then. That's, you can make an argument for it.
Yes. Also, I just realised well, my intro was wrong. This isn't the first one. This is you, Duncan, and Craig recorded an original the other
that's
day.
What threw me. That's what threw me. That's why I asked if this was a Patreon or not.
I just forgot about that. Let me rewind that back. This is the first of our season preview shows, and myself and Joel. So we're going to be looking at Livingston. So you'll be, and kind of long-term fans will be aware of the fact that we tend to do these every season before the campaign, and what tends to happen is that we, usually myself, will speak to, with help from usually you and Craig Cairns, we'll speak to fans of certain teams and get their opinions for what they think the season's coming up. But I thought we'd do it a little bit differently this season. I think we're still going to do that. We'll talk to supporters soon enough, but we'll probably leave that until maybe the end of August after the first games are out the way and after the transfer window is done and we know the kind of full makeups of each other's squads. And also fans have had the chance to see these players, because we actually are in a kind of privileged position where, because of the money that you guys give us, and again, thank you very much for your generosity and for helping to continue allowing the Terrace podcast to grow, we have the ability to have a Y Scout subscription, which is very expensive, but does allow us to watch clips of players from pretty much most leagues in the world, most top leagues in the world. So we managed to get a very good idea of the guys coming into Scottish football, whereas your average fan is probably only limited to, you know, kind of reading. There is a bit more out there with a lot more kind of people looking at the stats and stuff. But in terms of, you know, typically the average fan just has YouTube to go off of, and that does not always paint a good picture, as we can all testify from the past. Usually anybody that's got a very exciting YouTube compilation turns it to be shite. So we thought we'd use that kind of extra resource, and we'll do the season previews. We'll talk about the signings coming in, how the teams are shaping up, and then we'll get the opinions of the fans once they've managed to have a good look at the new guys in action. So first up is Livingston. We're going to be following categories for each and every single one of these podcasts. There, I think, is 8 categories in total. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, 8 in total. So we'll begin with grading the summer business. So this includes both players coming in and out. So for anybody who wants a wee bit of a refresher on some of the guys at Livingston, who left Livingston this summer, J. Emmanuel Thomas joined Aberdeen, John Guthrie went back to England, Scott Robinson left the club. There was also exits for kind of reasonably key squad players in the form of Julian Serrano and Steve Lawson as well, as long with a couple of other kind of squad players. A number of players brought in. 11 in total. You're talking about guys, a few for the Scottish division. So Bruce Anderson came in from Aberdeen. You also got Abo Obalai from Queen of the South, James Penrice from Partick Thistle, and Ben Williamson, who was at last season on loan at Arbroath, comes in from Rangers on loan. Sean Kelly as well joins from Falkirk, but you've got a few other guys from the English lower leagues that we'll get to. So, all in all, Joe, what would you rate Livingston's summer business as? What would you grade them as?
I'll probably go for a C minus.
Oh, that's quite low. I've actually got a bit higher than that.
So let me explain that. So I look at there's names in there that I've I think, oh, that's a really good sign for Livingston. So Bruce Anderson thought it was ideal after the way he played for Hamilton. Abu Abalai, game one of the better players in the championship last season. I thought it was a very, very smart pickup. Andrew Shinney is a lot of Scottish fans will know from his time at Inverness, time at Hibs, and he's been decent. He's got a decent pedigree from down south. He's versatile. He's a versatile player who can play in midfield or attacking positions. Ben Williamson, again, another person who impressed in the championship. It's a good step up for him to now be alone in the Premiership, but Livingston having signed a new deal with Rangers. So I looked at that and I thought, those are really kind of smart additions. And then you look at the players who have left. There's not been a whole host of key players left. So Guthrie, Robinson, who obviously didn't play towards the end of last season. Robbie McCrory's not a massive miss, but like Serrano and Ambrose as well. Bit of a... they are losses, I think, and Steve Lawson's versatility as well. But the reason I'm going for a C minus is because of the balance of the squad. So there's an issue that I have with the balance of the squad, and you look around, they have. I do think the squad has a lot of talent, but they've got lots of left-sided players. They've got a lot of players who can play in the centre midfield, but they lack a significant lack of depth at centre-back and also in attack. But it's centre-back that really concerns me. I mean, we will go on to talk about what they have in there, but at the moment, they've really only got three players, three centre-backs, and all three of those... I'm not counting even if I count Obalai as a centre-back, so the four centre-backs, there's question marks over all four at centre-back, because you look at Obalai, for example, I think he struggled at centre-back for Queen of the South, moved into midfield, and he became a much more influential player for the Dunhamers. Jack Fitzwater, we had a conversation probably about 12 months ago, and we were like, nah, not for us. He has played during pre-season in the Premier Sports Cup at centre-back. He's not looked good. Then there is Tom Parks, question marks over him. And then the most baffling of signings, Sean Kelly, who, judging by Ross County fans, they think he's a good player. You could get away from a left-back in midfield, at left wing-back, but one place you don't play him is centre-back, and that's where he's been brought in for Livingston. So there are a few red flags which has made me go for a C-.
Yeah, that's actually maybe fit. You share the exact same concerns that I have. It's only you've kind of marked them down a wee bit more for that. That is certainly the concern. The centre-back is definitely the area of the team that really kind of causes alarm bells to go. But I'm just going to look it around. So McCrory went away. They brought in another keeper. You've had a look at him. How does he stack up in terms of McCrory? Is it there for him to be a better signing than Robbie McCrory?
I think he'll make fewer errors than Robbie McCrory.
No, that's fine.
Whether I think he'll be long term, I think he'd be a competent goalkeeper. Still, probably think Max Strake's better. Max Strake's played all three Premier Sport Cup games, so they're not really upgrading in that position.
Yeah, I suppose. But they've managed to bring in another goalie. They've managed to bring in, yes, the jury's out on Parks at the moment. He's not looked too comfortable so far, but he might just take a wee bit of bedding in time. I mean, we talked about Fitzwater. Fitzwater looked awful to start last season, but he eventually became okay. I still don't really rate him that highly, but he was fine by the end of the campaign. But they brought in the kind of Guthrie replacement. He's a very similar type of player, no-nonsense centre-back, somebody who's literally just there to clear the ball, and that's about it. If they want to give him the ball to try and play with, they're going to be in trouble because he's... He's not really much of a passer at all. But in terms of his defensive makeup, he's strong, he's big, decent in the air. He's actually not too slow for quite a kind of lumbering looking centre half. So I don't mind that. Up front is a bit of a concern. Bruce Anderson, I'm not entirely sold on. I'll talk about him a wee bit later on. But I think they might be expecting Jack Hamilton to step up as well. So But I just kind of liked a lot of their business that they did. I think they addressed a lot of the areas, and if they can manage to bring in another centre half and another forward, perhaps, and maybe see if there's any interest in any of the legions of midfielders that they have at the moment.
So I would give it a B minus. So this is another kind of reason I'm going in for C minus. I think Martindale was talking during the week saying that pretty much that's Livingston pretty much done.
Right. Okay.
Obviously,
they always say that though.
A lot of managers do say that, and then there's like a late flurry of activity. And again, the benefit of the transfer market not closing until the end of August is that managers can kind of get a lay of the land. So the Premiership Cup and then the first two league games, and maybe think, holy shit, Fitzwater Parks and Sean Kelly are not three centre backs I can trust for the season, and I actually do need to go and sign another person. So yeah, Martindale said that, but as always with managers, it can change.
Okay, so who's the signing you're ready to fall in love with?
I found this difficult, to be honest. The obvious one would be Christian Montano.
That's who I've got.
Yeah. Since you've got that, I'll go for Ayo Obalai. Just because I completely wrote him off last season when seeing him for Queen of the South. I just thought he just looked so poor at centre back. Anything that seemed to go wrong did when he was in the vicinity of the ball. But then he moved into centre mid, and he just had this presence in there, solid enough on the ball, just gave them a real good platform. So I'm interested to see how he takes it up into the Premiership. Obviously, he's got a bit of a goal for it. He can take penalties. It'll be interesting to see the I think Livingston fans have had concerns over the makeup of the midfield and the fact that they've gone for more of a 4-3-3 and so it's kind of single pivot. I'll be interested to see if he is the man to kind of sit at the base of midfield. It does look like Marvin Bartley is going to be more coach than player this campaign. So he might be a great player to watch, but it's probably ready to fall in love. It's probably the one that intrigues me the most, rather than one that's I'm ready to fall in love with.
So I went for Montano. Is that how you pronounced it?
Yeah, because he's got a wee, I don't know what they call it, but a wee accent above the N.
Okay, Montano. He's one of, so the business looked a bit strange to start with, and it was only once I got a wee bit of info from somebody at Livingston that I was able to kind of figure out what they were doing, because it looked to me they were just signing four left-backs when they already had Jackson Longrange, who ended last season as the first-choice left-back, is still at the club. So I was thinking, what the hell are they doing? So Montano last season played pretty much exclusively as a left-back for Port Vale, but he has, in the past, played left side of midfield, and even for Port Vale as well. And when he plays there, he has quite a good goal return. So that's going to be something that should excite both Livingston fans and the Scottish football, the anorak nerd like myself. And he also is quite an exciting player to watch on top of his goals. He's somebody who's quite fast, likes to run with the ball. And even if they do end up playing him at left back, he's quite a tenacious left back. He's somebody who gets involved in a lot of defensive duels, somebody who loves to kind of bring the ball up the park quickly. So I think he's just going to be somebody who's going to be very entertaining to watch, even if he might not necessarily end up being so effective.
Yeah, I agree with that. I watched a couple of clips of him before we recorded this, and I actually found he was playing, one of the games I watched, he was playing as a left wing back. It was weird. He just took, every time he got the ball, he seemed to be in a different position. He was just taking up weird positions, even centrally. And then driving forward, and it almost like at times you thought, has he got a free roll from left wing back? But he just seemed to be always involved. And the fact that he's Colombian. This is why he's Colombian, but got a UK passport. It's always
moved to the UK. I think when he was very young. So I think I think he's got a London accent as well. So right, signing you're not sure about.
Oh, take your pick.
we've addressed Sean Kelly.
Yeah, so I will go James Penrice.
Yeah, I'm a bit intrigued by this one as well, because I don't remember Park Thistle fans being overly enamoured with him in League One. So it's quite a step up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's someone who certainly a couple of years ago had a lot of talk around him. It seemed like he was had a lot of potential to be. Did he broke through as a left back, and he thought that he would go on to maybe do better than he probably has done. Maybe he might admit that in himself. But what I'm unsure about is where he fits in, because it does seem like we talked about it, that he could play left back, he could play left wing, he could play left midfield, depending on the formation, and he can play centre midfield. So it does seem like he is. I mean, players like that are great, especially if you're carrying a smaller squad. If they can play, if they're versatile, he allows Martindale to change formation within the game, but also just use these, have players who can cover various positions.
I believe so far he's played on the left side of the midfield three and left of the front three.
Yes. I was just very, very curious to see if he can make from being, we say, mediocre at Thistle in League One to making an impact in the Premiership.
I'm going to go for one of their kind of more marquee signings. I'm going to go for Bruce Anderson. I think it got to the point last season where you kind of thought Bruce Anderson was getting all this hype for that goal he scored against Rangers, and he's not really done much since then. And he was on loan at Ayr United in the first half of the campaign, and he was pretty underwhelming for them. I think he only scored twice, and both of them were on his debut against a lower division side in the Cup. So he didn't exactly sparkle there. He then went on a loan to Hamilton. He had a great start. He very much improved Hamilton's side. You could see that he was actually kind of a forward. It was a forward they needed all season, somebody with a bit of guile, somebody with decent technique, who wasn't just a big lump. But as the season wore on, when Marius Okonpo started to have his injury problems, and David Moyle was already kind of struggling with injury, he kind of struggled to replicate those early showings without having that kind of big force, that big presence alongside them to kind of, you know, pull gravity towards them and to open up a bit of space for Anderson. So without the kind of big guy beside him, he tended to struggle. Now, Livingston are typically just play with one up front. So I'm really unsure how Anderson's going to fit in as a lone striker on a team that plays a lot, similar to Hamilton, plays a lot of direct balls up to the forwards. And is he going to have enough presence? Is he going to play with his back to goal enough to really do that job? I don't even think he's going to be the first-choice striker when the season gets underway. I reckon that, and I'll talk about him in a second, but I reckon Jack Hamilton will end up starting. But I'm unsure about Anderson. I think a lot of people like to sign in, but I've yet to be convinced.
Yeah, so I am. I think maybe you make good points about Anderson and his kind of compatibility within playing as a lone striker or as part of a two with a bigger guy beside him. I really did. I liked Anderson a lot when he played for Hamilton last season, just because of his attitude and work rate was fantastic. But his link play, this is something I didn't realize, the kind of a string to his bow that he had, but his ability to link play, facilitate. Now, Livingston, it seems, I've kind of taken taking a new approach to how they play. I think there's a bit more patience to how they build the game, and then when they do go long, it's more diagonals to players out wide. I think they need to ensure that they don't go direct through the middle to him. They can go direct through the middle, but it has to be really precise. I think if they can get the ball wide and crosses, I think he will score goals. He did that against Alloa recently. So yeah, I liked him at Hamilton. I thought when he first signed, I thought that's ideal for Livingston. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he works within their team dynamic.
Okay, next up is biggest dark horse. So this could be a player who is either a new signing but is a wee bit unheralded, or a player currently at the club poised to play above their reputation?
So, mine is a bit, it's probably unlikely how this happens, but mine is Jack McMillan, and it is more his what could happen with him coming into right back and Nicky Devlin perhaps being used as a centre back. because their lack of centre back.
Obviously, they're in trouble if Nicky Devlin's playing centre half for a lot of the season.
Yeah, so but with McMillan, I do think he's another person who can play left back. Who I just think
we've got a team full of them.
I know. I've got no faith in the centre backs at Livingston. I've got with Devlin. I know if you're kind of working out now that putting him at centre. Just say for example, he plays centre back. You're losing so much of his thrust down the right hand side. So yeah, you give me your answer. I'm gonna come up with a different answer for that. Give me your answer, I'll come back.
So I've got two names written down. We've got Jack Hamilton as a player already at the club. He was sent on loan to Arbroath last season, and they've done. I think that's the reason as well. One signing we've not talked about yet because he's not going to play for Livingston this season is Joel
Newble.
Joel Newble, who arrives from Aldershot Town. I've not had a look at him yet because, like I say, he's not going to be playing for the Lions this campaign. But he seems to be, from what pictures of him, he seems to be a big hulking striker who I imagine's got something about him. But he spent his entire career in the lower reaches of English football. He played for Aldershot last couple of seasons, which is his only, I think, even maybe his only club in the National League, or maybe one of only two stops. He's 25, so he's not exactly. It's not exactly like they're signing a 20-year-old here and then immediately sticking him on loan with kind of eyes to development. There obviously is eyes to development, but this guy's in his mid-20s. So it's a bit odd, but he's been put on loan to Arbroath. And I think Martindale's going for what was successful with Hamilton last season. Hamilton went to Arbroath, played really well, really kind of helped improve Arbroath's season when they were really kind of struggling in the early part of the campaign because they didn't really have much going up front. He scored a number of goals. He was a good target man as well. He's quite a slight striker, but somebody that has decent enough hold up skills. And I could see him maybe having a bit of a breakout campaign. But whether that, I mean, what that translates to, I'm not entirely sure. But if he managed to get 8 league goals across the course of the season, that would be great for Livy, and I wouldn't be too surprised. The other player I have is Adam Lewis, the other left back.
he was going to be my other dark horse.
Okay, you could talk about him then.
Yeah, cool. So with Adam Lewis, he has not had, I don't think he has enamoured Livy fans with his performances so far. Came with a decent reputation. He's played for Liverpool, got a great left foot. Dave Martindale, when he signed him, says, Adam can play anywhere on the left-hand side, but has played a lot at left-back. I think with the qualities he possesses, we see him higher up the park, influence the game in the opponent's half. He has a great left foot and can look after the ball in tight situations. He's a competitor with a will to win and fits right into the ethos at the club. So when I found out that he was going to be playing more centrally and having watched clips of him, you know, the first person that came to mind was Graham Carey.
Right, I get you.
There's a lot of similarities between them. And Graham Carey was, I think he at one point was going to be the signed by Dundee United until they signed Andrew Robertson. And he.
Well, they'd signed Robertson and they brought Carey in on trial.
Carey on trial, yeah.
And then they decided that we don't actually need Graham Carey because Andrew Robertson is much better.
But then Carey went down, so eventually did okay, and then went down south, and he turned into this kind of goal-scoring number 10. I just wondered if Lewis has that potential within him to have a similar influence in the Livingston midfield.
Yeah, he was a hard player to scout because the only really stats available are just him at left-back, and if they're not going to use him at left-back, then what the fuck? But from what I could tell there, he's an excellent cross of the ball, but somebody who's not particularly good at running with the ball, so that would maybe say why they wouldn't use him at left-back. He's also quite small as well, and is terrible in the air. Again, that may be an issue at left-back, especially with the defence looking a bit weaker this season, so you can see why Livingston are doing it. But yeah, I'm intrigued by the skills. It's just, I think this is one of those ones that will come on to talk about this as well, just with Martindale. I just kind of trust him that he sees this in this player, and it's like if he thinks, right, these skills will do better in the centre of the park or even pushed up into the front three, then with Martindale's kind of track record, I know he's had these bloopers as well, like the Marvin Bartley wing-back fiasco in the cup final, but often when he does stuff like this, he ends up being kind of proven right, so I think he might end up being, he's certainly a very creative player and somebody with a real kind of drive. Because despite the fact that he's not somebody that ran most a lot with the ball when he played left back, he was always somebody who was getting into the penalty area, playing balls into the final third. So he certainly seems to be a really good attacking player. So I'm intrigued to see him. Right, for Levy this season, what's the best case scenario?
Scraping into the top six.
Yeah, that's probably best case. I think slightly, it's going to be hard this season. I was wondering whether Aberdeen were going to have a fall off, but I haven't watched them.
Watched them last night. I was like, fuck it, hell. Jet has turned into this incredible creative number 10. That can play number nine, can hold the ball up and can run.
Yeah, and even Funzo Ojo's looking all right. There's just runners from everywhere, and Aberdeen look like they're really exciting to watch. So I don't think Aberdeen are going to drop out the top six.
It was like the first kind of 15 minutes, we're kind of working out what they're trying to do, and then just as the game got on, they just got better and better. Everyone seemed to have a great game. Because when I went to a mate's to watch it. I lost a bit of tangent. I went to mates to watch it, and I was rushing across here and just got the teams up. And as soon as I seen Jet and Ramirez were playing together, I was like, "Oh, this isn't good." But no, they look a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah. So there's that. You'd have to. I mean, fuck knows what you expect for Hearts, but you'd have to expect Hearts to get into the top six this season, at the very least. You'd Hibs. There's no reason why Hibs shouldn't stick around in the top six, and then you've only got one place left, and you're thinking St Johnson could fall out. If one of two things, one might influence the other, is if they don't reach they're not going to reach the group stages of the Europa League, but they might, depending on the draw, they might reach the group stages of the Europa Conference League. Yes. If they get a favourable draw and they can manage to pull off a wee bit of an upset, they've done it before in Europe. They knocked out Rosenborg, so if they can do that, they could very easily beat a team to come up against it in that playoff round. If they do that and they're playing Thursday, Sunday, every week for 6 weeks, you know,
I think they've got, it's weird, they've, in terms of their first, they're like 15, 16 players, it's like 16, 17 players. So I think they've got decent depth, but then beyond that, they've got no depth. They're just a fall off.
So either that happens and the squad just become a wee bit too tired and it's just a bit too much for them, or they don't make it and they sell off a few of these players.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility of a space opening up, but it's going to be fairly competitive to get in there, and I don't really see Livingston doing it. But I do think that seventh is still not entirely out with the realms of possibility for this team.
No, I think, you know what, I see if they finish top six with the teams that are in the league, I think that'd be a really, really good achievement and be up there with what they have achieved in the last few years. But if they finish seventh or eighth, I think that's a very solid to good season, that kind of consolidation, because there's a lot of teams I have concerns about, and finishing seventh, eighth away from the relegation battle, then that's a good season.
Yeah. Harsh realities, where could it possibly go wrong? I think we've really talked about this already. The defence is the major kind of alarm bells ringing about that. If we've seen it before, if you're a team in the bottom six, you can even be a really good kind of attacking side. You can play a lot of decent football. If your defence is poor and you concede a lot of soft goals, you're going to end up in trouble. And that could really pull Livingston down towards the bottom of the division, even if a number of these signings that they've made in midfield and attack work out. There's also, as well, I'm a wee bit concerned by Bartley kind of moving away from the first team. He didn't have the best of seasons last year, but I still think his influence would be huge on the park, just in terms of having somebody who's essentially, I mean, so experienced. I mean, we know him as well. Such a kind of charismatic guy, somebody that players will really follow. Well, will they lose something without having him at the base of midfield, even if, you know, Obalai might be a better bet for somebody to get around the park, considering Bartley's in his mid-30s now? That could affect them as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think there is more than ever, even more so than when the kind of Dykes left, there's more things at play for them, for it to be a kind of harsh reality in terms of just being brought back down to earth with a bump. I think the big thing for Livy is I actually can't see a team being like dragged or just at the foot of the table, being like the team that are from very early on that you know they're going to get relegated. I think it's going to be very tight and competitive down there, which in a way is good for Livingston, because it means that attitude, that ethos that kind of Martindale mentioned, is we might be able to win more points than, for example, picking an obvious team out the hat here, Dundee United.
That season preview is going to be very interesting, especially if they've only made two fucking signings so far. Right, let's move on. Manager next. What do we think of Martindale going out this season?
I'm really curious about Martindale. He is such an engaging and interesting guy. He's switched on. He seems to just have a football brain. And you kind of touched on it earlier on, but there was a few things last season where he just made me think he's overthinking it a bit too much. Marvin Bartley, that would just be one that will never get over that. That's Johnson final and him playing, being played out wide. And just the way they ended the season, you just wonder if that really good run they were on, and yes, I do appreciate it was actually a really long run, that if that was almost a blip. So I do think it's a massive season for Martindale's kind of managerial press, and it does seem like he is trying to evolve them with the way they're playing, whether they have the players in the defensive third to allow them to build smartly through the thirds, I'm not sure, but he's certainly one of the more intriguing managers. I mean, there's plenty of facts. Actually, you look around the league, there's so many managers you're curious about. You go touch on Dundee United, you've got Celtic, Nielsen coming back up, Glass as well.
I think that I think it depends on and your feelings on depending on how much influence and say he had before he became manager, because
yeah,
if we're talking that he was basically like the ghost manager the entire time, like throughout this kind of great run and going back to them being in League One, then you have to think that there's just too much evidence to think that Livingston are going to get relegated to this campaign or at least finish bottom, because you'd have to say what he's done would be putting him above several managers in the top flight. And if you have a very good manager in the Scottish top flight, chances are you're not going to drop out of the division, because there's always going to be somebody having a howler that's going to be worse than you. And if you look around some of the other teams in the top six, there are major question marks around Dundee United. There are major question marks around Motherwell squad building so far this summer. And I mean, there's Malky Mackay, who's somebody who's not done a decent job in management since he was sacked from a club. They didn't leave, and then the texts were released afterwards or something along those lines. But he's not done a decent job in management since Cardiff, and that was a long time ago now. Does he still have it? Can he turn around to Ross County? And it's also a team that's always kind of struggled at the bottom of the table. So you would think yes, but Owen Coyle was a disaster at County. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and he's kind of career not too dissimilar to Malky Mackay down south. So there are a lot of questions. And if we can attribute a lot of Livingston's success over the last few years to Martindale's approach to the game and how he sees the game being played and his input on signings and tactics and stuff, then I think there just has to be enough faith there to think Livingston, again, are going to be all right.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. If you put him head-to-head against like Tam Courts, you're thinking Martindale. Put him head to head against James McPake, you're thinking Martindale. Put head to head against Graham Alexander, I'm probably still going to go for Graham Alexander's done okay down south. So that's kind of like a bit up in there. And then Malky Mackay, like you said, he's who knows what he's like as a manager now.
I would say Martindale has over Alexander. I think it's fairly clear that he knows the Scottish
game. Yeah.
Scottish game a bit better than the markets to shopping. So Motherwell haven't looked too impressive so far what they're bringing in. And you always get a worry of a guy who spent a lot of his career in England. Is he thinking too highly of the English League One and League Two? I mean, fair enough. Livingston aside, a few players for League Two as well, but that's Livingston's market. Like they have to pick out these kind of rough gems. Whereas Motherwell, you would think we should be aiming a little bit higher. But anyway, enough about Motherwell. I think the potential downside is that even if he did have a lot of say before, maybe it was just best for the setup to have another guy there who was the manager to say, who was the manager position to say, oh, hang on a minute, is Marvin Bartley left wing back and keeping that for 70 odd minutes? Is that going too far? Maybe he's now lacking that other voice. So maybe he might just be, and it was also the start of, fucking hell, was it like, was last season? Jesus, it feels like ages ago. Started last season when they trialled the, I think it was a 3-4-3 with Effie Ambrose at left wing back. That was another very strange thing.
Fucking hell, yeah, bloody hell, forgot
that,
about that.
That was another very strange thing, and was that Martindale as well? We don't know. So maybe he just needs that extra voice. Maybe he needs an editor. Like a director, like if you think of like a director, maybe his films are going to be the ones that are like 4.5 hours long and nobody can follow the plot. There's just all these weird elements happening and he needs a good editor. So maybe that's what he needs. Maybe Bartley could be that, who knows? But that's the possibility for things to go wrong. Look at
this system, like who better to kind of rein Martindale in than Bartley, who's played it out of the left in that final against St Johnstone, to go, hold on a minute, Gaffer, no.
Right, and what do we make to their strongest 11 their opening day? So I've got here.
So do you think, is this my opinion of their strongest 11 or what we think is going to be chosen?
That's a good point, because I've gone for what I think would be chosen, but it's probably quite close to my strongest as well. So I'll give you mine. I've got, I've just got written keeper because I left looking at the new keeper to you. So I'll go for, see, extra Terek still the better keeper. I'll go for him. Back four of Devlin, Fitzwater, Parks and Longridge. A midfield three of Holt, Obelai and Pittman. And then a front three of Forrest, Hamilton and Shinney. So kind of the classic kind of one of the wide players as a central player. Like he's done quite a lot in the past with like Sybold. And I suppose you could say Scott Robinson as well.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be far off it. Mine's is different, but what you've put there, I don't think it's going to be far off it. So I went for this to be mine just because so Fitzwater isn't in my 11. So, so straight Devlin, and I've just moved Obelai to centre back. But I honestly got so much concerns about Livingston at centre back. Parks, Montaño, Holt and Sybold as so. This is 4-2-3-1. Holt and Sybold, Mullen right, Shinney left, Pittman through the middle, and Anderson up front.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it was
interesting. It was interesting. I've seen the St Johnstone fan does analysis. Have you seen him on Twitter?
Yeah.
So does a lot of like radars, and he's on Pye and Bovril. So a lot of the Livy fans were asking him to do radars on players. They asked him about Shinney, and so Martindale, when Shinney was signed, he said he'll play anywhere. I think it was like three attacking positions behind the striker. The Saints guy, he looked at his kind of data from I think Charlton and Luton, and he's just what he said is that if he's playing in a midfield role, he needs to play as number 10 or in the centre of the pitch. He can't play wide.
Okay. Right, let me check. I'll bring in Montaño then. So that means I've got two left sided players. You're right about the squad. The squad's weird.
It's mental. The thing is that for Livy fans like listening to this and wondering where my experience of weird squads comes from, Hearts have had an unbalanced squad for years, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Actually, I could just swap around in my team. I just realised I could just swap around Pittman and Shinney. Put Shinney into the centre and Pittman as part of the front three. That would probably work it better anyway.
The thing is, with Pittman, you want him as a... thing about Pittman is you want him as a number 10 because that's what he's best at.
I think he's still very good as a number 8 because I think he's running. His late runs are part of what can...
Oh, sorry, I thought you said you're moving Pittman into the front three.
Aye, so... Well, he's got the room to drift. I don't know. I don't get this.
It's going to have to be a very fluid, flexible system.
Aye. Maybe I'll mark down my grade further. I'll give it a B-. Maybe put that up to... Mark that down one more, a C+. Still like a lot of their signs, but yeah, you're right, actually. This squad is a bit weirdly balanced. Because I forgot, yeah, about... Because, yeah, fair enough, like, all these left-backs can play elsewhere, but it's still weird that, like, so Montaño and Forrest. And Sybold was playing on the left as well. He could play on the right. Like, I think. He played on the left a lot. It was either him or Forrest on the left of the forwards last season.
Forrest played, definitely played. I thought Sybil was more central last season.
He played sometimes in Forrest role. It was either him or Forrest that used to play on the left. So Sybil, I think, can play on the right. So there you go. Put Sybil in then.
But then you with like Josh Mullin, he's like he's the one player off.
I forgot. Let me fit Josh Mullin at this. Right, Mullin. Like Mullin takes the place of Shinny. Shinny's not even in my team now.
So he was my when I was thinking about it, just the way we're discussing it, and they're like the signing you're not sure on. It was actually Shinny was probably the one I should have talked about. I just don't know how they're going to get him, potentially him and Pittman in the same midfield.
And he wasn't, I mean, I know he's got the better pedigree for down south there. I know it was just a loan, and sometimes the loan deals players don't play to their full abilities because you know you're only there for a short time, not for a good time. And Shinny, when he was at Hibs in the Championship, wasn't that great.
Mm.
So, and he's now 32. So, yeah, there is a possibility that signing goes wrong as well, despite the fact it has looked like quite a coup for Livingston. Right, I think that'll do us. Thank you very much, Joel.
No problem at all.
I should probably just ask, what's your actual prediction for Livingston this season?
I'll go... Who do I reckon's got that? I'll go 10th.
I think a wee bit higher. I reckon 8th or 9th, I think, for Livy. I think they'll be fine.
There's when I sit down in a week's time and think about my predictions for the 12, that might change, because I mean, like Dundee, who the fuck knows where Dundee are going to be? Like, I really don't like looking at Dundee United, don't like looking at Motherwell at all, don't like the look of Ross County. So I think
just by being competent.
Yeah, potentially. So well, let's split it. 9th. There will be 9th.
Okay, let's go for that. All right, thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the season previews that we're going up. Next up is Dundee, with myself and Gary Cocker doing that, and that should be going up on Sunday. So listen to that when it comes out. Cheers. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Social Podcast Network.